Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. In this interview, Fred Armisen, creator of Portlandia and star of Saturday Night Live, shares his beginnings and favourite film music. I hope you enjoy the show. Today, it gives me great pleasure to welcome into the hot seat Mr. Fred Armisen, who you may or may not be familiar with. Fred has had a very interesting career, and what I'd like to ask you, Fred, is are you a big film fan?
I am a big film fan. I feel like many people are big film fans. At least the people in our world, people that we know are in music, are really inspired by film. I think that a lot of musicians, a lot of their sort of album covers, everything that just comes from being inspired by film. That's my assumption.
Visual images.
Yeah.
And so with that in mind, can you remember the first film you remember going to see that affected you? Like when you were a kid?
I remember when I was 10, maybe I was 9 or 8, my dad stuck me in to see Jaws. And I remember definitely being affected by that, by all the blood and everything, and there was this sort of head that comes through the bottom of a boat.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I really did. Other than that, there was stuff on TV. There were some Dracula movies on TV, a lot of like the Hammer films.
Yeah.
I don't know how they ended up on TV, but that's kind of where I remember some of those. Planet of the Apes, I remember.
Yeah.
But that was also TV. Yeah. But going to the theater
was Jaws.
I'd say that's the one that I felt the most affected.
And were people screaming and stuff in the?
No one was screaming, but we lived in Brazil at the time. My dad worked in Brazil, and they wouldn't let kids in. Kids weren't allowed, and I was so, I didn't understand it. I'm like, what is it that I can't handle? And then my dad snuck me in, and I think it was kind of a bonding experience between me and my dad. And then, I loved it. I remember always drawing pictures of it afterwards, you know, in school and stuff. I'd draw like the shark and everything, and that really had a huge effect on me.
So up until that point, you'd lived in Brazil.
Well, I lived in suburban New York on Long Island.
First.
Then we had to move to Rio de Janeiro for 2 years. Mm. That was second and third grade. And then we moved back to Long Island.
Right.
So it was just a two-year jaunt.
While your father worked down there.
Yeah.
Okay. And then now you started off You obviously have got into comedy and acting and drama, but you started off in a band.
Yeah, in New York, on Long Island. And then eventually Chicago, the band moved to Chicago. But I always just wanted to be a drummer. That's all I ever wanted to do. And so I just always wanted to be, in a band and do that. But it didn't pan out the way that I'd planned. I thought we were going to be this big, famous band. And
so the band was in Long Island and you went on the road, or what happened?
We moved to Chicago because our lead singer went to school there. To college there.
Yeah.
And then we toured and toured. We did okay, but we didn't have the impact that I wanted us to have. I really wanted us to be much bigger than we were.
And what was the name of the band?
Trenchmouth.
Trenchmouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the band didn't fulfill your expectations for that you wanted for it.
Yeah.
And how long did that go on for?
That was we moved to Chicago in 88. We split up in 1996. Okay. And around 97, 98, I started sort of making my way into comedy.
Had you done any before then?
No.
Nothing at all? Amazing.
But I just started making my way through comedy, and a lot of doors opened up right away.
Yeah.
I just got more and more gigs, for lack of a better word, doing comedy than I ever did with music.
Yeah.
Except I kept music as part of me, and it was, that never left me.
Yeah.
But just the format was different.
Yeah.
And then I got to do TV shows and stuff. So I'm very fortunate that I found another way through. By the way, the first question you asked me is if I like films. My assumption is that everyone does, but I guess, on the other hand, it's not everyone.
You can't assume that.
It's true.
You've got to
Some
ask.
People... It's true. Some people are unaffected or don't care.
Yeah.
I've met people like that about music, where they just don't care about records.
There you go. So it's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the first one on your list there?
I picked the first one, which, because I remember the melody all the time, is this movie that called The Cook, the Thief, the Wife, and Her Lover.
Peter Greenaway.
Yeah. The person who did the music was someone named Michael Nyman. What I liked about it, I remember, is that they kept using the same melody throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
But the style would change of the melody. And by the way, I didn't look up the actual melody before we did this interview, but I think it goes dun 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 dun. Thank you.
Now, you hold the record, I think I'm right, for the longest serving cast member of Saturday Night Live.
I've been beat out.
You've been beat out now?
Yeah, yeah.
Who beat you to it?
Kenan Thompson.
Wow. Are you happy? Are you relieved? Oh. You're relieved.
It's nice. I mean, it was a nice honor, but yeah. I'm glad that that keeps changing.
Yeah,
It wouldn't feel good if that was the.
It's like a medal being moved along
the
line.
Yeah, yeah. And I have. Right. I'll always have a strong connection to Saturday Night Live, yeah. And it'll always feel like a part of such a huge part of my life.
Could you briefly tell us how that started off? Your connection with SNL.
That was an audition. I had been on a pilot for another show by Bob Odenkirk, and it didn't make it to TV, but the tape from it we submitted to Saturday Night Live. Then I went in for an audition, and I couldn't even believe I was there. I was at the studio, and then they hired me. Yeah. And I knew that my life was going to change, and then it did change. And it was the greatest, I hate to even call it a job, but it was, I loved it. And I still go back and visit, and it's a huge part of my life. I've remained friends with everybody, and it's just, it's a dream. And it was a dream. It was a lot of work, a lot of intense work, but worth it.
And when did that start?
2002 to 2013.
Wow. So now let's move off to your next film choice.
Okay. The next one I've got is probably one of the first soundtracks I ever bought, and it's Rumblefish. Yeah. And the music by Stuart Copeland, the drummer for the Police.
Yeah.
And I think it was in my teen years, it's the first time I had ever known that musicians can actually make a soundtrack to something. But Rumblefish, when I would see videos of it, it was him doing it mostly on percussion.
Right.
And I like anything with percussion and drums. Mm. So because it was so drum-based, I just really liked it. So I remember I bought that album, and it was like, for me, like a big, it was a big gamble, because I was like, wow, I'm getting a soundtrack album. But I really listened to it as music, and I loved it. Mm. And that's when I was in college. So Rumblefish, Stuart Copeland.
Thank you. Now, you were in the original Anchorman film.
Yes.
As the restaurant proprietor, Tino.
Yeah.
For that famous, wonderful flute scene that happens after it. Yeah. And now, were you tempted to get involved in the second one that they made, or were you asked, or did, or what?
I wasn't asked.
Right.
But I know those people, and they're great, and they're so funny. So I never take that personally. But only because from the things that I've made, sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. Yeah. You've got your storyline, but I was really happy about the second one, and that was one of my favorite things to work on, was Anchorman. That was improvised and fun, and Judd Apatow and Adam McKay, Will Ferrell. It was great.
So a very loose script then.
Well, yes, extremely. It was really fun. I loved it. I definitely a highlight of my life.
We got it now. It's all right.
Fire.
Little ham and eggs coming at you. Hold on, people. Hope you got your griddles. That's baby making music. That's what that is. Let's go.
I picked out these choices just sort of randomly, which is probably a good way to pick things. Yeah. I try not to overthink it, but I'll always love the music from A Clockwork Orange. That synth Beethoven was just, I can imagine at the time it was probably revolutionary, but it still sounds pretty radical.
And the music was by?
Walter Carlos. I did have to look up.
Yeah.
But Clockwork Orange, incredible music, incredible sounds. Probably at a really fun time for synthesizers, I'm imagining, where they weren't being used a lot.
Big fan of Kubrick?
Oh, yes.
Is that your favorite Kubrick film, or?
No. I would say Dr. Strangelove.
Ah.
Is just, wow. Even though a lot of people say that, I still love it.
Interesting.
Do you ever get the feeling when you love something and then everyone else does, you feel like not as special. You want to be the special person.
Yeah, of course.
But I can't help it. That movie is just too Peter Sellers.
Doesn't matter. So that's interesting. This is something new that I wasn't, but it makes sense. So you must be a big fan of Peter Sellers then.
I love Peter Sellers.
Right.
Love his career. I love the way he did characters. He is just the greatest. He really is.
So this is interesting because one of my later questions, which I want to link to bring up now, is that now in Portlandia,
yeah.
which has you've just told me has now been put to rest now
yeah,
after
yeah.
how many, eight seasons?
Eight seasons.
Great.
Yeah.
And fabulous success that's been. Now in Portlandia, you've done many disguises
yeah.
and play many different characters. And in fact, I have to admit that I didn't even recognise you in some of the characters you play.
Yeah.
Now, with that in mind, and that this is what Sellers was very... is that something you admire about Peter Sellers? Is there some sort of... I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, emulating and being inspired by someone's work. I do it all the time with music. So is there some affinity that you feel with you and Sellers?
Yes, I aspire to be like Peter Sellers. Right. I always have. And... even the way he approached the characters.
And he was a drummer.
He was a drummer. There's some great pictures of him playing drums.
I know. Go on. That's all. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I just want everyone out there to know that Hugh had a really big smile when he told me that. So he was a drummer. And just the way he embodied those characters was great. And it always struck me as not showing off either.
Yeah,
he never. To me, it didn't seem like he's trying to like show off that he could do these characters. I think he just really wanted to embody these different people.
Yeah. So, is this something you'd like to develop, perhaps, with in more film work? You know, film maybe in some more straight drama, dramatic stuff. Is that something you'd like to have a go at?
It is, but I also want it to be a surprise still. Meaning,
yeah.
I don't want to all of a sudden be in some dramatic movie where it says, hey, I'm a comedian and guess what? I'm dramatic.
Right,
That's very expected.
Yeah.
I wish there was a way to do it internationally where you dug up a movie from Colombia or Hong Kong or Iran and then I pop up in the movie
or I'm in it
as a person from that country, and it's not advertised as like my breakout. I want it to be a surprise where you go, oh my God, watch this movie, that guy, that's Fred right there.
I love that. That's great. I love that. Well, I'm going to look out for some surprises when I'm watching some movies. So now let's pick another piece of music here.
Okay, this is more of a recent one. This is from the 2000s, and it's a football movie called Friday Night Lights. And I'm not even a sports person, but it was just a really good movie. But the music was by a band called Explosions in the Sky, and it's mostly electric guitar. And I felt like when the movie came out, it was a bold move to have just electric guitar for the soundtrack. It was just cool and just a really good idea, and it sounds great, and the chords are great, and it sounds like they have a delay pedal on some of it, but I love it. So Explosions in the Sky from the movie, not the TV show, which was great, but from the movie Friday Night Lights. Thank you.
And that was Explosions in the Sky from Friday Night Lights. And so, Fred, tell me, in 500 words, if it's possible, tell me, how did Portlandia come about and the relationship with Carrie Brownstein, who you made the series with?
Well, I was a big fan of her band, Sleater-Kinney, and I knew the drummer, Janet, for quite a few years, maybe since 1996 or 7. And then met Carrie in New York. The band visited a party I was at for Saturday Night Live and met Carrie. And we became instant friends. Immediately we thought we should start working together. We thought maybe not music. We should make maybe comedy or something and some short videos. And we did that. So I would go to Portland. And I just blossomed. We would just start making... We're both kind of workaholics. We just like working. So we just ended up shooting more, and all of a sudden we had enough to pitch a TV show.
For a pilot.
Yeah, for a pilot. They said yes. And then that turned into season one. All of a sudden there was a season two. And it just kept going and going, much to our surprise. Not that we didn't think that we could do great things, but just, you never know with TV shows. And it just kept going. And it continues everywhere I go. That's what people say the most to me. So
yeah,
I take it as a really good thing.
Well, it's been a great vehicle for you, as I said, like these different characters. And so it's fun to try new things, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I guess you can think up a character. I know, I just thought up this guy. And then suddenly you've got a new guy that you can play.
Yeah.
Who didn't exist before.
Yes.
Any news on a Portlandia film? Movie?
We haven't really... since we just ended it, the TV show, it will be years before we circle around to that. We had this idea of maybe doing something on stage, a sort of some version of doing something live might be kind of nice.
Well, you did a sort of a musical version of it.
Yeah, we did a
you?
Musical version, and I've seen a lot of comedians in TV shows do stuff on stage, and it's really nice. It's also nice to see the fans and the audiences, you know, as people. But when we're shooting it, we never get to see anybody.
Yeah, I understand. Well, let's have another music choice.
Next one is from my very favorite movie in the whole world, a Terry Gilliam movie called Brazil. And the music is so powerful in it. Right away, it's in the very beginning of the movie, it just really hits you hard. And so the movie is Brazil, and the... composer is Michael Kamen.
Fabulous.
Yeah. So, boy, it's great. I just love that movie. Still love it. It still resonates. And great music.
Thank you. So, Fred, just recently you've been the musical director, MD, on the Late Show, the Late Night with Seth Meyers show.
Yeah.
Now, this is something you'd never done before, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And is this... So you've still got the music connection there.
Yes.
And you've got the comedy connection there and TV. Can we expect to see you in... are there any... Or maybe you can't talk about it, but is there stuff that on the that we're due to see, you know, on TV? Have you got anything in the pipeline?
Yeah, I did... Well, there's the final season of Portlandia, which hasn't aired yet, right, as of this recording. And then I did a stand-up comedy special called Stand Up for Drummers. So I did a stand-up comedy thing where the audience was 100% drummers, only drummers. We invited only drummers so that the jokes are only about drumming.
They get it.
They get it. And they're happy to hear jokes that are very specific to them about drum equipment, drum hardware, impressions of different types of drummers. That's it.
So it's going to be late at night, right? Because
yes,
no one else would understand the jokes.
No.
That's great.
Yeah.
So you've got two more choices.
Two more choices.
Okay, let's do the first one.
Another one of my favorite movies. I would say this is my second favorite movie. I guess I went second and third. So a Scorsese movie called After Hours. And... it just reminds me of a time I really loved in New York. And I think that came out 85, maybe. And it's by Howard Shore. And I didn't realize it was by Howard Shore until we looked it up. Mm. But he's directly related to SNL. He was like a early Saturday Night Live music person there.
Oh, right. Okay, I didn't know that.
Composer, yeah. Yeah.
Great. So here's some Howard Shore music from After Hours, Martin Scorsese. You've been spending more time in LA now. In fact, I think you're probably based there now.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
More or less.
Yeah.
And tell me about living in LA and how it grabs you and impressions. And
I love Los Angeles so much. I've always loved it. And when you're there, you have your own little space. You're in a car. You drive over some hills. There's twinkling lights. I love show business things. I like seeing studios and agencies, all of that is very exotic to me. So it's just a general feeling. As soon as I land there, I feel great. It's so big. It's you can get the best of everything, and it feels like a very old American culture there. It's a culture that I think the Hollywood culture goes back to the early 1900s, and it's, I think, valid as a type of culture. I remember I bought oral sculpture as a cassette when it came out, and you guys were singing about Spain, and one of the lyrics was, "Looks a little like California,
yeah. Prickly pears and rolling plains."
Yeah, and that turned out to be very true, just the way you described California.
Right. Okay. Good. It's like LA to me it's like a living museum.
Yeah.
it's dedicated to film and cinema. So
if
anyone who likes film is not gonna dislike LA, are they?
Totally.
No. Yeah.
The one of the airports there is Bob Hope Airport. Yeah. It must be the only comedian airport in the world.
Well, maybe we get a Fred Armisen airport somewhere.
Oh, that'd be great.
Great. So we'll keep the last music choice right at the end of the program.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, is there anything new you're working on that you can tell us about, or anything that you want to talk about?
No, just that stand-up special, and I'm always working on stuff, and I feel lucky that I get to do it, and that I get to hang out with you. Here we are in upstate New York,
and vice versa.
And I just want to do stuff that makes you proud, you know.
Oh, yeah. And so your last
one is Alfred Hitchcock movie Rear Window, which is still really stood the test of time. Incredible. And this one I had to look up also, but it's Franz Waxman.
Yeah, we thought it was Bernard Herrmann, but it was actually Franz Waxman.
Yeah.
And here we have to end the show. Thank you very much, Fred, for sparing the time to talk to me. And I wish you all the best with all your future stuff. And here we're going to go out with some Franz Waxman music from Rear Window. Thank you.